Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio, dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, you can stream us live anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. You can even listen on demand. We're also streaming now live on the TuneIn radio app as well as the iHeart radio app. The producer of the program is indeed George Ruggiero. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey.
My company, as he is every Tuesday and Friday on the program, he is the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Tailgate Show, now airing an hour earlier, so we'll be starting on Saturday with the most watched college football pregame show of all time. We'll be watching an hour earlier on VSiN. You can check the local apps. I believe if you scroll through like the RSN sports channels on DirecTV in the 600s, you can find Tim on like multiple different stations there. But you can also stream on the VSiN Watch app. Tim, good day, sir.
What is up, man? Yeah, it's good to be back, I guess. Not really. I guess I'd rather be in Hawaii. But
you're here.
But I'm here. College football is here. A lot going on. There's another morning tailgate show that is getting a lot of interesting waves this week.
So I was in a weird spot in that, for those that don't know, the whole drama going around Dave Portnoy and Ohio State banning him. If I did not know who was reporting the news, which was originally my buddy Ryan Glasspiegel, Ryan's written for just about everyone from Awful Announcing to The Big Lead to Outkick to The Post, the New York Post, to now he's at Front Office Sports. If I didn't know Ryan, I would have thought it was a work. Because I think now it's getting more attention than it possibly ever would.
Yeah, I don't know who's telling the truth and what
I do.
The true story
I also
is.
Know Ross Bjork. I know who's telling the truth. Ryan Glasspiegel. If you look up excellent in crisis messaging, Ross is not exactly the poster child.
Yeah.
George can also confirm.
Can certainly attest to Ross Bjork's aptitude for that.
I would say
Ole Miss fans are chiming in. We look forward to our day of telling our story.
I will say this. This is a win for the Fox morning show, because it is.
That's why I said, if I didn't know who it was, I would have thought it was a work.
Because it's, you know, obviously going up against, you know, the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show.
Of course, the most watched college football pregame show in the history of the universe.
And it's Corso's last show. So the monster that is College Game Day gets an extra bump on Corso's last show. But now you got this a little. But I also might not be able to watch it because, you know.
You'll be working?
YouTube TV, well, that and, you know, YouTube TV is fighting with Fox. So that's fun.
So we'll get into those stories a little bit more during hour number two, because I definitely had some thoughts there. We'll get into that more during hour number two. But I wanted to ponder the first question. We've also got a robust preview from the fine folks at Fox Sports. Really, it's Adam Zurendorfer. That is the most German-sounding name I think I've ever heard in my entire life. Zurendorfer has a robust preview that I wanted to pick apart some stuff with Tim, discuss that. But I think I want to start right here. You and I talk about oftentimes, particularly in football season, we can go full football brain and there can be just massive overreactions and hyperbole reigns supreme. Do you believe this is the best week one ever?
I do.
Would you listen to the argument that it's top heavy?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you could always talk about the depth, but I'm a college football nerd, so obviously keep that in mind. But I think Thursday is not ultimately a very sexy slate, but Boise State, South Florida to me is pretty interesting. Nebraska, Cincinnati, I find interesting. And just because I know there's a true disdain between the two universities, ECU, NC State is interesting.
Oh, it's delicious.
So is it great?
And they ended the season
with a fight.
With a
in
fight.
A bowl game.
In a bowl game. I cannot remember the last time two teams played to end a season and start a season. And then when you throw in the fight element and the in-state element. Yeah, no, I that is a fabulous undercard game.
So that's Thursday. Is Thursday massively delicious? No, but I think Boise State, South Florida today is interesting. Friday is where...
I do think it loses a little luster with that game being so early.
5:30, what was that? 4:30?
I think it's 4, yeah, it's 4:30 our time.
Yeah, 4:30 Central, 2:30 my time.
So George's family lives in Tampa. George, isn't that prime thunderstorm like territory? Isn't this game kicking off like at 8?
Let me take a look. Usually it's mid to late afternoon. If it's 4:30 here,
so it'd be 5:30 there.
Oh yeah,
I just feel like.
Oh yes,
I just feel like you can close your eyes and think about UCF or South Florida opening the season at home and know that that's your first lightning delay of the year.
Actually, from what I've heard, funny enough, having spoken to some family in the last couple days, they haven't had many really bad thunderstorms lately.
So
it's just been rain on rain on rain the last week or so. So all this talk about playing surface might come back up in that conversation for those games.
Right now I'm showing over with our fine folks at oddstrader.com. We're showing 43% chance of rain, but it does have the warning of poor weather with a moderate impact on offense.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The last couple times where I know in the last handful of years, USF has done a pretty decent job against Alabama. At least there was those couple times in Tampa.
Yes.
Well, there was the Saban game where he just said, fine, Tommy Reese, you want to start your buddy? Go ahead. We'll see what happens.
And then last year was the, like, USF, every single, the last 2 years, their best win has been close losses to Alabama. And then last year, remember, Milroe, like, fumbled at the one.
Was it last year or 2 years ago? It was super clunky.
Last year was the game in Tuscaloosa. The 2 years ago, though, you're 100% right, was he started Buckner. Reese start Buckner, and then they ended that debate.
Yeah, that was what? I think a 10-3 final.
I think it was like 17-3. That game also had another rain delay, and I believe by the end of the weekend, Buckner was transferring back to Notre Dame to play lacrosse. I might have my timeline a little off,
but
I'm pretty sure that's right.
He stayed the whole year, but yes, he did return at some point to play lacrosse. He is now the starting holder for Notre Dame.
He's still eligible?
Yeah, yeah.
How?
He's a third-string quarterback and starting holder for the Irish this
year. I did see somebody maybe it was with Zach Calzada when he got announced as the starting quarterback for Kentucky yesterday, which I thought that had already happened, but I guess not. Somebody took the scene from Tommy Boy when Tommy tells David Spade, lots of people go to college for 7 years. Yeah, they're called doctors, and then they dubbed it over with, yeah, they're called COVID quarterbacks. I was like, that hits right now.
By the way, the glorious Alabama, you were right, 17-3 win.
Yeah, I remember that one.
The following week, they were like just a 6-point favorite against Ole Miss, and it was the all-time
It ended up being
low.
A little more than that. It was like 7.5, 8, but it was still way too low, and that game was over with at halftime. Kiffin went for it like on a 4th-and-1 to start the game, and they did not get it. And then I don't think Alabama had a negative play on offense in the entire first half.
I laid 6.5 back in week 4 of 2023. Looking at my spreadsheet here.
You had a great line because I think that one's still closed. People started being like, really? We're really going to get Alabama under a touchdown at home?
Because they had lost to Texas and then they had that poop performance. So, all right. You're always going to get your fair share of FCS games. I think for me, obviously, the main course, the steak, is as good as you could ever ask for, because I think the added element of all three of the big games are on campus, where you've got Texas at Ohio State, Clemson hosting LSU, Notre Dame at Miami. And then I do think the undercard, so to speak, is solid. I'm very excited to watch Auburn-Baylor on Friday night. I'm curious about Florida State, Alabama. I think there are some interesting
games. I think Georgia, so if you want to go back to Thursday, games that I find interesting, I think we can all agree, Boise State, South Florida is at least interesting, like especially considering it's a Thursday afternoon.
It's going to be hot.
Sports going to be back. Again, does that mean South Florida is like going to pull the upset? I don't know, but like at least I'm interested. I'm interested in East Carolina and NC State. I am interested in Nebraska at Cincinnati. And I'm interested, Colorado. That's Friday night, correct?
Colorado, Georgia Tech is Friday night, yeah.
And I'm vaguely interested in Miami at Wisconsin.
Miami of Ohio.
Miami at Wisconsin. Which one's older? I bet Miami of Ohio is older.
I'm sure they are. Just ask them.
I've
never been more turned off of a school when I visited it than Miami of Ohio. God, they thought they were like an Ivy League. I'm like, okay, cool. I get it. You're good academics.
Isn't it like an elite party school?
Yeah, it's a bunch of rich white kids from the Mid-Atlantic that go to Ohio for college.
All right, so let's see. This Miami of Ohio was founded in 1809. It has to be way older. Yeah. The University of Miami, Florida, is 125 years of history on them. 115 years.
Give the boys from Oxford their love.
Mm-hmm. But I do think that's like, if the problems that Wisconsin have are true, there's a shot it shows up against Miami.
So there's, all right, so once again, I'm getting real nerdy here. But having a second screen on the return of Scott Frost to UCF, I think they might run up the score. I might be like, I'm back, baby. Winning national championships is what I do in Orlando. Jacksonville State is a depleted roster. We saw a lot of movement today, by the way, on UCF. So it's that first Thursday.
What did that open? Because it's now, I'm showing 20.
16.5.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So we've seen a lot of night support into the market.
Is UCF good enough to run it up?
They're better than Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State, remember,
Jacksonville,
lost everybody.
Jacksonville State, now maybe CUSA Jacksonville State is different, but when it was FCS Jacksonville State, that was kind of the last chance U, but not a JUCO school. Like there was a lot of kids there from parts unknown that could kind of play. Now that they're CUSA and you can't really just take like every like non-qualifying transfer, okay, maybe. But I'm just saying like Jacksonville State has a history of having more talent than you think.
I think that's kind of a I'm back, I'm going to try to score as
a
many
flex
points
spot.
Type of game. Not that I'm betting it. You know, I was just texting with a buddy of mine who's a lot smarter from a betting standpoint, and it week one is challenging because we all want to bet it, we all want to just fire away, but we forget these games have been up for 2 months. So they've been kind of shaped every which possible way. But you could go certainly on the other side. Like, I have a Nebraska win total over. I'm very bullish on Nebraska this year. I might take Cincinnati +7 because that just feels like a spot where Nebraska might trip over themselves in a neutral site game against Cincinnati.
Yeah, the problem that I have when I look at the board this week is I am very fearful that I bet if I look at splits, I'm going to be SpongeBob SquarePantsy. And week one is the week, historically, if you're going to do it. But, like, I like Texas so much that I now might like Ohio State.
I'm on Ohio State. I was listening to a podcast yesterday. It was not a national podcast. It was a team-specific podcast. But when they gave out their, like, picks, one of them picked Ohio State. They're like, really? I'm like, they're the favorite to beat Texas. Betting splits right now, at least at DraftKings, not too crazy on Texas. 53% on the Longhorns.
Tickets or and money?
Money's 66% right now on Texas.
All right. So then the other one that I now might like LSU so much that I like Clemson.
That's going to be pro Clemson, I think. It's right now split 52-48.
What I'm saying is I think I was on the square side of LSU. I've not bet it. I'm now convinced that I like LSU so much that I like Clemson.
No, I know, but I'm telling you, it doesn't look like there's a square side as of now, at least DraftKings. 51% of bets on Clemson, 49% on LSU.
I'm shocked you haven't already fired on Cincinnati. That just feels like a you bet.
Yeah, I was waiting to get to 7. I think I'm going to be in on it. I haven't bet it yet, but I've also got to figure out, too, I'm signing up for the Westgate College Football Contest, so I have to make 7 picks in that every week. So, like, I'm
are those picks, or are those spread, or those just, like...
Only spread.
Okay, so it's not Survivor Pool.
No, it's not Survivor Pool.
Because I was trying to... I wanted to look at the other thing. Then on Friday night, we've got Auburn and Baylor.
I kind of feel like Baylor's square. I feel like so many people
really?
Like Baylor. Yeah.
That makes me feel a little better.
Well, I don't know, but you're in
that
the
makes
SEC.
Me,
you're
that's
in SEC
what I'm saying.
Country.
That's what makes me feel a little better because I kind of like Auburn.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but now I look at it right now, and at DraftKings, 68% of tickets are on Auburn. Which surprises me.
And then the other one that's just like staring out at me is Georgia Tech laying 4.5 at Colorado. That just screams like, oh, please bet Coach Prime, and I want Georgia Tech.
That is, as of right now, Georgia Tech pretty heavily bet side.
Really?
Yeah. People are out on Coach Prime, man. Now that Shador and Travis are gone, I think there's a belief that, I mean, there was no talk about Colorado this offseason. Zero. People think that that team's just going to fall off the face of the earth.
I don't love... Is it Salter? Caden Salter?
Salter. Yeah, the Liberty.
From Liberty. I don't love him. But at the same time, like, Colorado's still got potentially a first-round tackle.
Their offensive and defensive lines are probably the best they've had since Prime has gotten there.
Now
he's actually done a pretty decent job building that up.
Now, they have lost, I think, all three of their top pass catchers. I assume he just absolutely raided the portal. Although it was funny how to hear, as soon as Shiloh and Shador left, all of a sudden, Coach Prime wanted to get the money under control.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of games, like, and that's the thing, too, about week one. I know we all just want to pepper the board if you're a better, but it's also kind of like a fact-finding type of week.
Well, so that's kind of the reason why. So the reason why I've told you I like Texas so much that I've now decided that Ohio State's the right side. I really think both teams are even. I think Texas is going to have more of a memory of the Ohio State game than vice versa. And I know it's now becoming like in vogue to think that Arch is going to stink. I do not think Arch Manning stinks.
I do not either. I would say, and once again, it's football. It's not basketball. But Ohio State has the two best players in the game.
They have, I think it's fair. I think it's fair to say they have the best player. I think also, though, Texas might have the best quarterback in the country.
It's very possible. I mean, once again, back to fact-finding. Like, Arch Manning could come out and just be the five-star super prospect that we all expected him to be when he signed with Texas, and it might be a Billy Madison catching the dodgeball scene. Like, now you're all in big, big trouble because we've got ourselves an elite quarterback, and they did not last year.
And they have a quarterback that is willing to actually, like, hit the explosive play. Like, that's the thing about Quinn. Quinn was pretty risk-averse with the ball. Arch, that's the thing. What everyone's going to find out very quickly is Arch spent a lot more of his life watching Eli than he did Peyton. He will put the ball up for grabs. And I say that with love and affection.
I think I'm probably going to end up on Ohio State. Especially if the money line keeps coming down. So the money line is, you know, around minus 125-ish. I'm going to trust a home team that I'm going to anticipate probably being a little bit more physical. But I'm also very prepared to be wrong here.
Honestly, it's that classic also, like, just because you proved me wrong a couple of times, I still know who you are. I still don't think Ryan Day is a big game coach.
I mean, look, he's lost to Ohio State Michigan, what, four straight years now?
Correct.
And you could make the argument, I'm not necessarily doing it, but I think if you're looking at your point of view, I just had a team that got smoking hot at the right time with elite players everywhere, and Will Howard might have pulled a Joe Flacco and just played the best four games of his life. Will Howard was phenomenal in the playoff. And we didn't really see that throughout the regular season. And, you know, their number two wide receiver was a first-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, to me, though, that's kind of the other thing. It's like, yes, I do think having the best playmaker on the field matters. I think Sark's going to be able to avoid Caleb Downs taking the game over more so than, like, having Downs on the field, obviously you'd rather have that than not. I do feel like you can attack the field away from him. And Sark is kind of the king of getting the receiver he wants on the DB that he wants.
Sark can scheme it up, that's for damn sure. I mean, look, there's no denying that. You know, they got a nice late addition to the portal. It's funny, we all watched just how dreadful that Stanford team is. They had some
So we haven't gotten to talk about it, and I know we're going to continue week one, but you were there.
Yeah.
Why did Stanford ever throw a pass?
Should have never thrown a pass. Their first drive, I think they completed like a third down conversion on the first drive on just a horrifically thrown ball.
Yes.
By Ben Gulbranson. And then their two most successful drives, because they finished with 20 points, their first drive of the game was like 8 minutes. They came up with a field goal. And then I think early fourth quarter, late third, early fourth, they went on just a 16-play, 10-minute drive, just a soul-sucking drive. And at the end of the game, their last two possessions, they threw a pick, and they threw two passes on three downs and gave the ball back to Hawaii.
I had no idea what they were doing.
No idea. Like, we knew when I saw the first drive, I was like, ooh, this isn't good. Like, this is going to be, like, as bad as Stanford is, they still are a power four offensive line.
I think what was clear is the lines of scrimmage were a different sport. I also think, and I'm not saying, like, I thought that unsportsmanlike conduct when the defensive lineman pointed to the camera, I think that was one of the weakest calls I've ever seen in my life.
Well, he did the booty slap.
Yeah, but he wasn't
the double booty slap.
But that's the whole thing. You get three slaps. It's three pumps. It's like
three pumps, not three slaps. Well, I mean, and on the flip side, Hawaii kind of had shot themselves in the foot on a couple, and they were, I think, correct calls on a couple of personal fouls where they got to Gulbranson, the quarterback of Stanford, but had the hands hit the helmet. And one of them was pretty weak. The first one was not. It was by letter of the law, a personal foul. But look, that Stanford team is bad. That is a bad
football
team.
My takeaway from that football game is those are two really bad teams.
I think Hawaii will be fine in the Mountain West. I think Hawaii.
I'm open to that because I told George my other takeaway from the Kansas-Fresno game, and I don't know how much you got to watch because you were in Hawaii. I think the Mountain West like might be dead in the whole revenue sharing era.
So that's the funny thing is, so we did, Mountain West Media Days were at Circa as they have been for the last 3 or 4 years. And so it just leads to us doing a little extra research on it. And I found myself saying, Boise's going to win this conference with ease again.
Yeah.
Like, they might lose week one to South Florida. They probably will lose to Notre Dame in October. They're so much better than everybody else. And the betting market during Mountain West Media Days was Boise State -125 to win the conference. I'm like, here's the thing. It's a home field championship conference. If Boise State's playing at home for the Mountain West Championship, they're going to be a touchdown or more favorite against everybody in that conference. And we saw UNLV struggle against a mediocre FCS team.
I will say, having been familiar with Dan Mullen's work for decades, that was kind of a Dan Mullen special where like Dan will kind of tinker in week one and then they end up like winning a game close. They had no business, or like some years, like I think they lost to South Alabama 1 year, like when they were supposed to be good. Like he'll do that. I'm not 1000% out on UNLV. The only deal is though, I don't think that defense was fake. Like that was just bad. Like they are just bad on that side of the ball.
They lost a ton, man. They lost a lot. And they have, look, Mullen went into the portal, got a lot of pieces. And, you know, I did not watch much of that game. I saw the highlights and looked through the box score. To your point, they gave up a lot of yards. But it also might be a situation where could you buy low on UNLV this week when they go to Sam Houston? I don't know. Or buy low when they play UNLV at home in 2 weeks. Certainly a possibility there. But that conference, yeah. I think, look, for Hawaii, their goal is to make a bowl game. Their quarterback is limping around right now. I would be surprised if he played on Saturday night at Arizona because they have three winnable games at home following that.
He should not play against Arizona.
No. And I think that's... Like,
and I give him credit. I didn't think he should have played the second half.
No.
Like, he was...
From my understanding, even with the drop-off to backup is significant.
I mean, even when he had the painkillers, or no, what did Tylenols? I think that was what there was. Remember, there was one game. It was Ja Morant. Reggie Miller was on the call, and Ja clearly went to go get the Toradol. And they're like, no, he's getting Tylenols. So, yeah, even when he had the Tylenols, like, he still was limping.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that had to be so much pain.
Yeah, I think he was in a lot of pain. He said it after the game. He said that final drive was really, really painful. I don't know. I think Timmy Chang's doing his press conference today. I would be surprised if he played it, and he shouldn't play. You know, you're traveling to the mainland to play Arizona. You get your check and go home, and then you've got three games at home where you're going to be a favorite in. So they should take care of business. But yeah, that conference, I agree. I think they are significantly down this year, and to your point, man, like that's the problem nowadays is all these conferences are just getting raided with their talent. But I, at this point, like Stanford, not that the ACC is any murderer's row, but like find me a convincing win there. Are they going to win a game? Probably.
I mean, to me, I want to get a look at Cal, but like the big game could be like who wins, like who gets their FBS win.
Very possible. I mean, Stanford plays San Jose State later on, but they lost to San Jose State last year when they had better players.
Yeah, those two teams are terrible. Okay, so you said you're leaning Ohio State.
Yep.
And you're leaning Ohio State solely because, hey, on the offensive side of the ball, I got the best player, and on the defensive side of the ball, I got the best player.
Yeah,
and they're at home. I mean, we can't discount that.
They're at home. I mean, and it's Arch Manning's. Yeah, he started, against Mississippi State and UL Monroe? But, like, it's his first real start. And, yes, he's a Manning, and he's been built for this. But it's his first real start on the road at Ohio State against the defending champions in Ohio State. I did get asked this yesterday. I am a believer in revenge. I don't think this classifies as revenge. This isn't Texas isn't going to be extra motivated because they lost Ohio State. They're going to be motivated because they're playing Ohio State, the defending champs. Like, I don't think there's hey, they beat us last year, extra oomph. This is the biggest game of the college football season.
Are you discounting the championship hangover?
I just feel like it's a very different team. Got a new
quarterback. I do get everything is now year to year. But there's a reason why.
Here's what I'll say when I'm not discounting. Two new coordinators for Ohio State. They lost two elite coordinators. Chip Kelly.
Is Day back calling plays, or is he letting Hartline call plays?
Apparently Hartline's calling plays. And Matt Patricia, when was the last time he coordinated a good defense?
Probably when he had the 2017 Patriots.
Yep. So it's been 8 years.
Well, I mean, he did get to call plays for the offense.
That is true. He did get to do that. So look, I'm kind of conflicted on that game. I can't wait to see it. But your initial question was, is this the best week one ever? I do think it is on paper. Now, obviously, results will give us the answer.
I'm giving you paper because we don't know what the game results are going to be. Know what I mean?
I think at the end of the day, if you keep it simple, stupid, we've got three top 10 games and none of them are on neutral sites. Like, we've seen big time games before, but more often than not, they've been on campuses, or excuse me, at neutral sites. Like, our neutral site games this weekend are what? Tennessee and Syracuse?
Tennessee, Syracuse,
Virginia Tech, South Carolina.
And do you count Nebraska Cincinnati at Arrowhead?
Sure. Like, we don't really have neutral site games this weekend. I kind of like that.
I'm trying to see if we're missing another one.
Charlotte, App State at Bank of America Stadium.
Yeah, it's still the same city. I'm glad that Charlotte's going to be able to sell more tickets.
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, that rabid fan base.
That stadium's always full whenever you...
The boys from Boone will take over that stadium.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get into this Fox Sports college football preview. We're going to talk about national championship odds and trends, as well as Heisman, of course, the big storylines. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Tim, we have a off-air update from our producer, George Ruggiero. George says that that was not a butt slap, that was a TikTok dance.
Oh, Stanford kids know what TikTok dances are?
I mean, it's Silicon Valley. Who else would know what every app is?
I thought it was a double cheek slap.
Okay, so we've got national championship trends. This is according to Adam Zerndorfer of Fox Sports. So we know right now, this is according to DraftKings, that Ohio State has the best odds to win the national title at plus 500, so 5-1. 5.5-1 is Texas. 7-1 is Georgia. Also at 7-1 is Penn State. Clemson and Alabama come in at 11-1. Oregon is at 12-1. Adam notes none of the last seven preseason favorites went on to win the national championship that season. Since 2005, 19 of the 20 preseason national title favorites failed to win the championship. The lone exception was Alabama back in 2017. Every national champion in the CFP era has begun the season ranked inside the preseason top six. Are we saying of the AP poll?
I believe it's the AP poll, yeah. Is it top six or top seven? I can't remember. One of those is...
Adam's note is top six.
Okay.
10 of the 11 champions were also inside the top five, the lone exception being 2019 LSU, who was ranked number six. The last six teams to win... the title were also at the school that produced the most NFL draft picks that year. I'm a little less out on that trend because I also think that, okay, you've got to have this baseline of players. Like, I think Ohio State ends up having the most guys drafted because, like, in the end, it's the championship team. And, like, late in the rounds, like, all right, we'll take the Ohio State guy.
Sure.
Like, I think everyone's going to be kind of in this. It's like one of those things where I think teams that win the title, they have more guys that wind up getting drafted. The Big Ten has won back-to-back national championships for the first time since the 40s when the conference won three straight. Prior to this Big Ten streak, the SEC had won four straight titles and 13 of the previous 17. Every national champion in the CFP era has had at least one top 10 recruiting class within the 4 years leading up to their title. Does any of that matter to you?
Yeah, I think it's important to note, going back to the national champion, that we don't really see teams come out of nowhere to win the national championship, you know? So, yeah, I think some of that is certainly viable. I mean, if I gave you Texas, Penn State, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Notre Dame, who would you take from the field? I would take Alabama. I think.
Yeah, no. I mean, we're on the same wavelength.
But other than that, I don't. Maybe LSU, but their schedule's pretty challenging. I don't think they're top to bottom a great team. I think they might be a very good team. I would trade, like, who of the top six would you trade for Alabama?
Clemson.
Yeah, I would say Clemson or Notre Dame. Those would be the two that I would trade out. I think Notre Dame still has a high ceiling, but I'm very curious to see what CJ Carr is going to bring to the table on Sunday night against Miami.
All right, according to Adam, the ACC's legit national title contender is Clemson. Are you in agreement?
Yes. I think Miami has some kind of upside.
I don't know why. It's like if they had anyone else on Saturdays, I really do. Like
Is it a good or a bad thing that he'll be up in the booth?
He's still got a headset. Like, if they unplug the headset, if they've unplugged the headset, then I'm a little more interested. Is the interim in charge of calling timeouts?
Well, he's still the head coach. He's just on the boot. He's up in the booth.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, does the interim have timeout power, and does he have timeout overrule power? Because, like, that's the other thing. A lot of times it's Mario takes these dumb timeouts. If you just go, oops, I didn't get that, coach, and you didn't waste the timeout, then I care a lot more.
So I think, yes, I think it's fair to say that the most legitimate championship threat from the ACC is Clemson because they have the best quarterback. I know I've kind of bought in on some Carson Beck buying low stock. I still think Cade Klubnik's the best quarterback, and I still think Clemson has the best wide receivers.
All right, here's what he lists for the rest of the ACC. Talent-filled roster with playoff aspirations, Miami. Top 25 teams with playoff upside, SMU, Louisville, Georgia Tech. Doesn't that feel like a stretch on Tech? Like, I like Haynes King as much as the rest, but, like, that feels like a stretch.
I think it's only Louisville. I don't think SMU. I think SMU is going to have a bit of a rude awakening.
SMU's schedule last year was very paramount for them making the playoff. Does coaching matter? North Carolina.
I don't know what the hell. I just got a text from a buddy kind of in the know, and he said at least one shop was shaping up that UNC was going to be an enormous need on Monday night. And I am going back and forth on this team.
Oh, that makes me happy. I want UNC.
No, I know, and I'm kind of with him. My worry is I think Gio Lopez is a pretty meh quarterback.
I also think that they won't ask him to do, like, Gio is that guy that if you watch a highlight reel, you'll be impressed with him. But if you watch him play throughout a game, you're not impressed with him. Like, he will miss throws by 15 yards, but then he has plays where you're like, how did he do that? I think Belichick will be able to kind of reel that in. I thought this was interesting.
I also think Belichick and that defense, I feel like there's going to be an aha moment at some point this season where, like, the dude is still Belichick, and he's going up against, you know, Sonny Dykes. No offense to Sonny Dykes, but it's not Bill Belichick.
According to Joey Fiesel, the head odds maker from Caesar Sportsbook, he has Belichick worth the upwards of 2 points.
Ooh, that's a pretty...
That's pretty hefty.
Yeah.
Friskiness levels detected. Duke and Pitt.
Can't trust Narduzzi. He's a dope. He'll do something that he'll start complaining about. I mean, I still will never get over the fact that this dude went to a New Year's Six bowl game, and that offseason he was complaining because they didn't run the ball enough when he had Kenny Pickett and Jordan Addison.
I do think that was the direct result of who was that coordinator he had? He hated him. Is it the guy that
Whipple?
Yeah, he hated Whipple. He now has an offensive-minded guy that he doesn't seem to, like, undercut every single time he talks about him.
It's like the Western Carolina, like,
yeah,
wonder kid, right?
He seems to like that guy. Let's pretend last year never happened is Florida State. Middle of the road is BC, NC State, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, / rest of the league. Don't expect much. Virginia, Cal, and Wake. At least they've got a famous GM, Stanford.
I think Syracuse is too high. Syracuse is going to be rough. Syracuse's schedule, man. is brutal. Absolutely. Like, they have to go on the road to Clemson, SMU, Georgia Tech, Miami, and Notre Dame. They played Tennessee to start the season on a neutral, and their win total was 5.5. They're going to be double-digit underdogs in, I think, all of those games. Maybe SMU and Georgia Tech, they won't be double-digit underdogs. And then at home, you've got to play Duke, Pitt, UNC. It's like, they ain't sweeping the board at home. And you lost a NFL quarterback, an NFL running back, three wide receivers who I think amounted for like over 2,500 yards of receiving yards. Two are in the NFL, one's at Penn State. Like, good luck, dude.
Are you laying it with Tennessee?
No, I just have I have a pretty sizable bet on Syracuse under 5.5, so I just need Tennessee to win.
All right, let's go to the SEC. National title frontrunner, he lists Texas. Should make the playoff. LSU, Alabama, and Georgia. Playoff upside with potential program-changing quarterbacks, Florida and South Carolina. High-ceiling wildcard teams, he lists Ole Miss, Auburn, Oklahoma, Texas A&M. Taking a step back, Tennessee and Missouri. Kind of frisky, Vanderbilt. Low expectations, Arkansas and Kentucky. Stuck in the basement, Mississippi State.
Where was Missouri?
Missouri was on taking a step back with Tennessee.
I disagree.
I'm with you.
I think Missouri's schedule gets them out of that tier. Missouri's schedule is remarkably favorable for an SEC team. How can you not leave the state?
I still think people are way too high on South Carolina.
I do too. They have a bye week, I believe, before they play South Carolina at home. No, they don't. They play them at Louisiana the week prior. But still, Missouri, I don't know how they continue to get handed these schedules. They get...
Well, it's just because the SEC, where the Big Ten shook it up, the SEC said, we're just going to play the same games you did this year, flip the venues, and they've kind of changed the dates around a little bit.
So you get Vandy, Mississippi State, and Arkansas, three of the four worst teams in the conference, and who the heck knows what Arkansas is going to be by the final week of the season. You get South Carolina at home. You get A&M at home. You get Bama at home. I don't think they're going to the playoff, but Drinkwitz actually did a pretty good job in the portal. Massive unknown at quarterback. They kind of put their eggs in the Bo Prabula basket, so we'll see how that plays out. But I know they lost a lot. I mean, you lose to, you know, really good quarterback and a really good wide receiver and, you know, pretty decent running backs, but I think they have a chance with the schedule to maybe be frisky to make
Drinkwitz has always gotten pretty good offensive production.
Yeah.
And this is not really I don't know. All right, the Big Ten. National title contenders, three included. Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon. The more we get closer to the season, the less I like Oregon.
I'm with you.
I never had a lot of stock to begin with, but I just find myself going like, man, there's a lot of ifs here.
I don't know why.
And also, like, you know what? He's never been, like, my favorite quarterback, but I can also tip my cap. Dylan Gabriel was a highly productive college quarterback and yes, won a lot of games everywhere.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I think people are overlooking the fact that they don't have Evan Stewart for the year.
Well, and then like they're like they had another receiver that got suspended. Now I'm sure he'll be sure he'll be back for games that matter, but still.
And then I mean I do like that they went out and got Mekhi Hughes from Tulane. He's pretty legit running back. But like I don't know why the quarterback that makes me have a little bit of heartburn and maybe it shouldn't is Dante Moore. I'm like, is this He's kind of the same walk as CJ Carr, as Ty Simpson. But I don't know. I have some questions there. Now, I think Will Stein's a very good offensive coordinator. They've obviously been recruiting at an elite level, so they've got talent, but I'm with you. I don't think Oregon's a national championship contender.
Playoff.
I think they're certainly a playoff.
Yeah, player. But to me that's a different thing.
The schedule's very manageable. They should make the playoff this year.
Playoff contenders, they list Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Nebraska. I think Indiana and Nebraska are way too high.
I think Illinois is too high.
I'm fine with taking that approach. I do think Illinois' schedule makes them to be where I can at least envision it a lot more.
I think Nebraska's schedule is very manageable. If you look at their schedule, they get Michigan at home, so that'll be a challenge. They have to go to Penn State. They'll be a pretty sizable underdog. No Ohio State, no Oregon on the schedule. Non-con, very manageable. I think Nebraska has a chance to make noise. I don't know if they'll make the playoff. Was Michigan in the playoff tier?
Playoff contenders. Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Nebraska.
Okay. I'm starting to get pretty bullish on Michigan.
I tend to agree.
I think they're going to beat Oklahoma week two. I had John Jansen, granted, Homer, former Michigan guy, Michigan analyst. He was on my show last night on VSiN, and he said this defense, despite losing two top 15 picks, he thinks this defense could be better than last year.
There's a lot of people that also believe once Wink started figuring out things that work against college offenses, their defense got a lot better. They've had the depth. Like I just look at it in these terms. Like, Bryce Underwood doesn't have to be Cam Newton. He literally just has to be barely average.
Yep.
Like, that's it. They're wild, or top 25 upside if things break the right way. Iowa, Washington, SC. I know you're high on Washington.
Yep. I think that's the right tier. I could be talked into USC being a fringe playoff team, but I think those three all have very intriguing upsides. I think USC talent's there. I'm not a Mayava guy, but I understand the talent on the roster. Schedule's pretty challenging. They have a stretch in the middle of the season at Illinois, home to Michigan, at Notre Dame, at Nebraska. They also have Iowa and Oregon on the schedule. They don't play Ohio State. I think USC has a chance to have some upside this year. In Iowa, if this Gronowski kid's as good as he was at South Dakota State, which is a really damn good program, they might actually have themselves a quarterback. So, but their schedule's tough, too. They have to play Penn State and Oregon and go on the road to USC and Nebraska. But, yeah, I think Iowa's intriguing to me. And then, like you said, I love this Washington team. I think Jed Fish is a really good coach. And I think Damon Williams has massive upside.
All right, so then we go to our Heisman Trophy. Arch Manning enters the 2025 season as the Heisman favorite at plus 650. Manning would be the first Texas player to win the award since Ricky Williams back in 1998. None of the last 20 players to enter the season as the Heisman Trophy favorite went on to win the award. The last player to do so was Matt Leinart back in 2004. I'm not as big of a futures guy as you are on this. There's something about Jeremiah Smith at plus 1,100 that's kind of eyeing me. I do think it's easier for receivers to win it than it is like of the non-quarterbacks, I can see receivers winning it more easily than running backs.
I think it helps that Julian Sayin is not a household name currently.
Yes. I can also see this as the Devontae Smith, Matt Jones factor where Sayin will probably be serviceable, but it's going to be like when you see with Jeremiah Smith, it's like you're like, I think a lot of guys could make that throw.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Smith did return punts. Didn't he have a big punt return in the SEC championship game? I'm trying to remember.
Devontae was not. Was it Judy maybe? I didn't think Devontae returned punts.
I thought he had a big return in the SEC championship game. I could be wrong. My curiosity is this. Carnell Tate's really good, and Max Clair, the kid they got from Purdue, I think is going to be an absolute beast. He's going to be in line. He's going to be kind of like, I'm not going to call him Emeka Egbuka because Emeka Egbuka was a first-round pick. However, Todd McShay did have Max Clair, this tight end, as a first-round pick in his most recent mock. I'm not going to say they're going to take away from Jeremiah Smith, but Ohio State always just has an embarrassment of riches at the wide receiver position. So that would be my only question there. But like, if someone wants to bet Jeremiah Smith, I'm not going to be like, no, you're wrong. Because if he goes out and has 8 catches for $120, those odds are bye-bye come Sunday.
All right, I was trying to double-check.
Devontae Smith, he did not return punts to start the season. I want to say somebody got hurt midway through the year.
He finished with 11 punt returns and one for a touchdown.
One was an 84-yarder against Arkansas was the touchdown.
So he had 11 punt returns. That was also the weird – that was the I swear he won it in the LSU game when he went, like, seven rows deep and his dad was, like, in the front row and he jumped over his dad. That was the moment. I mean, I love Devontae Smith, but
– would you rather bet Jeremiah Smith at 11-1 or Ryan Williams at 40-1? If you're going to pick a wide receiver.
Weirdly, I think Jeremiah, just because even though Ryan deserves to be like we said, if I were drafting receivers and you tell me I have to take Ryan Williams, I'm cool with it. I just think that Jeremiah's got more of the cachet.
I'm not going to push back. I just...
I think Ohio State's a safer bet to be a playoff team than Alabama, even though I love Alabama, even though I've talked myself into Alabama winning the title.
I bet Alabama to win the make it to the playoff. So I'm all in on this Alabama team.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got some drama from Fox Sports. And for the YouTube TV viewers out there, are you going to be able to watch college football this weekend? We'll tell you all about that and more when we come back on The List right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.